pray with you. Oh, gracious and loving God, we give thanks for your word and how it informs us. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be upon us today as we meditate upon your word. Help us to gain knowledge, and also help us to reaffirm our love for you and your love for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I walked in and was greeting everybody, and I got told that, or asked if I was allowed to be hugged since I had my collar on. And yes, I could. I got hugged. And it reminded me of a story about a monk. He was a novice monk, and he was in the monk's place. And the senior monk had told him that he wanted him to copy the scripture word for word by hand. And the novice monk said, well, what if there's a word in there that's wrong? If I copy it, then the next person will have the wrong word, and they'll copy it, because he's going off of a copy. And he said, how do we make sure that's not true? He said, the senior monk says, I'll go down and read it. And he would check it. He went down there, and he was down there a long time. The novice monk was sitting there wondering, what's going on? It got longer and longer throughout the day, and a couple hours went by, and finally he went down to find the senior monk, found him down in there, and he says, Father, what's wrong? And the senior monk is standing there just stomping his foot, and he said, what happened? What's wrong? And he said, the word is celebrate. Never mind, we'll catch it later. Okay, I have to tell you, instead of celibate. Okay, all right. Okay, that bombed. We want to today, we've read some scriptures that really have to do with love. Have to do with God's love, Jesus' love, the disciples' love. It has to do with the command to go throughout the world and make disciples of all the people we meet. Make the whole world to know Jesus Christ. To know the Holy Spirit that is there for them. But I think most of all to know that God loves them. And maybe that's the thing that we need to really talk about when we talk about the Holy Spirit and evangelism and how that movement, all that works together and how that all moves together. To talk about this idea of love and how we define it. It seems to me that we have allowed ourselves to be secularized in the idea of love. What does love mean to us? Love is, I love my wife. She loves me. Young people think of love as being something, I know I did at 15, that it was something that had to do with hormones. Think about love as being something that we come together so that we're not alone. And then we talk about falling in love and falling out of love. We talk about people who have been ill-loved, if you will. As a young man, a young boy, my father always told me he loved me when he left Bruce's. It was my fault. So love kind of gets distorted as we go. We watch the TV now and we see these people falling in love and all of a sudden it's the next program, they're out of love, and it just goes on and on, and it almost boggles the mind. And so we finally have to ask ourselves, well, what is love? How can we learn to love? How can love be perfect? It's all secular. We go along each day, see people holding hands. We go along each day, we see husbands and wives arguing, children arguing, just all things are going on, and you wonder, where is the love in the world? And I think it kind of goes back to probably my youth and the whole hippie movement, if you will, that suddenly love was all around and love was free and just let it go. It was physical. I know that I've done weddings for young people that I swore this is not going to work because their whole idea about love was being together and the physicalness, the passion that goes with love. At least goes with human love. And you talk to them about, well, what about, you know, the love of God? Oh, I love God. God loves me, but you know, we're together here and we're living in a secular world and that's what we're going to do. Consequently, we can find that there isn't any commitment with love. I can fall in love, I can get married, I can decide not to be married, I'll get a divorce, I'll fall in love with someone else, I'll get married again or not get married again, but everybody I'm with, I fall in love with, and what is that? I can't say that it's true love. I would propose to you, and I could probably, this probably sums up everything that I've got to say today, that until we receive the Holy Spirit and understand that God loves us, and that God is in us, and God loves us enough to save us, John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son that we might have salvation. The love passages in the New Testament, God loves us. And if we accept that love, we will have perfect love in our hearts. Doesn't mean that things aren't going to go wrong. Doesn't mean that we might not be think we're in love with someone or not. But the fact is that regardless of what happens, God loves us enough to be with us and to help us to get through the next day. Sometimes it's the idea of loving God and understanding the love of God that helps us to pick ourselves up and get back on track and take the steps it takes in order to move towards Jesus Christ, to move towards other people in the world. And as Christians, and I think we're all adult Christians, if we can say that, the idea that when we meet people who are down, people that are not, what do we say to them? Maybe sitting down and saying, you know, God loves you. And God is always with you and always giving you love. And even when you're down, God is with you and will help you to heal if you just accept that love and accept the Holy Spirit. Accept that it's there for you. All you have to do is take it and accept it. And what's so hard about that? We accepted the other kind of love. For some reason, people say, oh, well, God's with you. Look, you're happy. I'm not happy. Where's the love? So how are we going to define that for people? How are we going to recognize when we can go to people and we need to say to them, God loves you and I love you too? And let's get together and just pray that the Holy Spirit will be upon you and that you'll know God's love. Oh, Christians are. They will know we are Christians by our love. Actually, they'll know we are Christians because they come to love God too. That the love of God is there to be spread around. The love of God is there for us to offer to people. The love of God is there to lift us up. To realize that God loved us enough to send Jesus to the cross. God loves us enough to send the Spirit to us so that we can live our lives in God. We don't do well at that sometimes. That's why we have confession. But God loves us enough to forgive us. You know, human love always has contingencies. I'll love you as long as you take out the trash. I'll love you if you will just give me all your money. I love you if. And if you don't do that, then you don't have my love. My mother used to say, you have to love me because I'm your mother and I went through labor. Well, that's true. Yeah. I think of Tessie in the Fiddler on the Roof. And his daughters are all falling in love with the wrong people. One daughter to a Gentile and one to somebody else. None of them are falling in love with the people that he'd hoped to fall in love with, especially the butcher, which might have given him a little extra meat. And he goes to his wife, and they're sitting there, and he says, do you love me? And she says, do I love you? I've had 3 children for you. I was in labor 16 weeks with each of them. Do I love you? I clean all your clothes. He says, yeah, but do you love me? He says, I clean all your clothes. I mend your clothes. I cook your dinner. I do all of these things. Yeah, but do you love me? And she finally looks at him and says, yeah, I love you. And that's my phone singing that I'm out, almost out of minutes. I'm sorry. Just right on cue. But yeah, I love you. And I think about Priscilla and I'd like to honestly say, and Barbara too, okay, if I can. Barbara and I too, both grew in Christ together. Priscilla and I, and me and we talked a lot about what love was and what love for us was. And part of that talk was saying to Priscilla, I love you, but I'm a pastor. Are you ready to live in the fishbowl? And Priscilla saying, yeah, I am. And I have to say that because of our love for each other, and that love for each other was tied to the love of God and the call of what we do, that it has sustained itself for almost 18 years. Is it 18 years this year? Is that in December? Okay, get it right. We were married right in December, and so so you never know whether it's the 18 or 17. Or, anyway, right at, it was hard, to say the least. But it was contingent. We had a contingency there. If you couldn't support the thing I do, then it's best we not get married. Because otherwise, a wedge would be driven between us. And I have to say, she has served God all the way along and has been my helper. Love. Now, who are we going to find that needs to hear the word, God loves you? How are we going to see them? And as we think about this, and as I thought about this whole idea of love and defining love, and defining the fact that until you have God's love, you cannot perfectly love someone else. Until we have accepted the Lord and accepted His love to us, that all the adversity in loving someone else is still there. But it's in that love, accepting the love of God, loving God, Jesus Christ, so on and so forth, that we can perfectly love someone else. That we can say to someone, God loves you, and accept the Holy Spirit, and there will be a change. It may not bring you money, it may not bring you wealth, it may not bring you lots of things, but there will be a change. So as I've gone through my career, I've always kind of watched for people who I thought, well, do they feel loved? In nursing homes, so often I'd go in to see a lady just walking through a hall, for some reason, catch up with her. And she'd say, nobody loves me, because God loves you. I don't know, I wouldn't be here if God loved me. Well, you're not here because God didn't love you. You're here because of physical ailments, and you're not going to have those. God loves you. And if you just hold on to that, and reach out to everyone who cares for you, and God loves me, and you should too, and I love you. And you'll see a change, even if it's for a little while, in people. Bette Midler did the movie The Rose in her early career. She, regardless how you feel about Bette Midler, the song The Rose is probably one that can describe what we might feel, what we might look for. I changed a couple of words, if I can. I took some, can I say, pastoral liberties. She said, some say love is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love is a razor that leaves you your soul to bleed. Some say love is a hunger, an endless aching need. Some say love is a flower, and you its only seed. And I changed that to some say love is God, and God the only seed. It's the heart that's afraid of breaking that never learns to dance. It's the dream afraid of waking that never takes a chance. It's the one who won't be taken, who never seems to give. The soul afraid of dying that never learns to live. When the night has been too lonely and the road has been too long, and you think that love is only for the lucky and the strong, remember when the winter, far beneath the snow, lies a seed with the a seed that with the sun's love in the spring becomes the crops that depend on us. People are hurting. They need to hear it from us. Some of us are hurting. Maybe we need to hear it from each other. God loves us, loved us enough to send his son to die for us, loved us enough to lift us up and to help us to find joy in the day, loved us enough to help us to believe that there's hope, loves us enough to give us courage to reach out to someone who feels this way, courage enough to say, God loves you, and his son went to the cross for you, and he sent the Spirit that you might know, that you will feel the difference. Don't depend on the world for love. Depend on God's love first. But if we'll accept God's love, if we'll just hang on to that, and take that love with us in the things that we do, whether it be marriage, or raising children, or seeing a neighbor, whatever, and offer that love to others, then truly, truly, the world will change. Would you pray with me? Oh, gracious and loving God, we praise your name and we give thanks for your love, the love that keeps our hearts full, love that sent your son that we could be saved and repent and just leave the sin behind us. The love that sent the Spirit that lifts us up and guides us where we are to go. Lord, help us to renew to the world that it is God's love that is perfect. And if we'll accept his love, we can find peace, we can find joy, we can have happiness. Indeed, we will see change. We pray this in Jesus' name.